Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve is African tennis. A Ghanaian woman is coaching children and trying to raise the level of tennis in her country. Joining us now from Ghana's capital, Accra, is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Chika fell in love with the sports as a child. Her father had introduced her to it at a very young age, and in next to no time, she had gained maximum interest. She recounts her time as a child watching stars in the Ghanaian version of the Davis Cup like Henry Ejidakun and Gunther Dake. She started playing tennis at 10 years old, and the interest has never left. These days, her interest has narrowed and taken on a different path. Now she is mainly into the arts and coaching children on how to play the sport.
One way of introducing kids to tennis is we try and use lots of fun activities and fun games. So the first three sessions they have, we limit the actual tennis play and focus on lots of fun activities. So then they start getting the interest. Now, once they have the interest, then we start introducing the very hardcore tennis techniques to them. So far, it's worked perfectly. I have kids who've come in and initially didn't want to play tennis, but because they saw their friends playing around and running around and playing with cones and all, they got interested.
The young tennis trainer has had a fine trajectory in her line of duty. She is fairly young in the coaching game and has already met tennis stars Karin Khachanov and Andrei Rublev, who is currently ranked 8th in world tennis. Developing tennis talents in a country that doesn't quite appreciate the sport is a hard venture. Chika agrees, but says with some support, she has had some cushion.
A lot of people cannot afford the actual price that we're supposed to put out there. So usually we tend to lower the cost a bit and the prices a bit, we just adjust it to where we are in terms of whichever location you are. We have shoes that kids has to wear. For me, I was able to get friends who are coaches in the US to send down lots of rackets and balls.
Some of the kids picked out their favorite stars in the sport and what motivates them to play.
Serena Williams, because she's good. I want to win a golden prize.
Djokovic, because I like how he plays. I want to play in the Grand Slam.
Now Chika Adu is on her way to the top of coaching in world tennis. It will not come as a surprise to see her cheering on her player at a Grand Slam. Like American Coco Gauff did at 15, one of these kids could be walking in those shoes soon. And for the young coach, she's smashing her way through life with a racket in her hand. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic will end the year as the world's number one ranked men's player for a record-tying sixth time. The now-retired American Pete Sampras also finished as year-end number one on six occasions. Now, Djokovic began the year by winning his record 8th Australian Open singles title. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, VOA's Jim Stevenson looks back on Djokovic's triumph in Melbourne.
I am grateful to have an opportunity to win another Australian Open trophy, obviously, at this stage of my career.
Serb tennis great Novak Djokovic had a second straight Australian Open title on his to-do list for 2020.
Grand Slams are the ones that I value the most. They are the ones that I prioritize. Before the season starts, I try to set my form shape for these events where I can be at my prime tennis and mental and physical abilities.
Djokovic survived a long, tough final against Dominic Thiem of Austria, 6-4, 4-6, 2-6, 6-3, 6-4, in just under 4 hours in Melbourne.
I was on the brink of losing the match. Dominic is a fantastic tennis player that plays with tremendous amount of power in his shots, especially from the forehand side. He uses his slice really well, so he disrupted my rhythm in my game at one point, and he was a better player. I mean, he one point and probably one shot separated us tonight.
Thiem expected a razor-thin margin either way against one of the big three men's players that include Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal.
Novak is part of three guys who are by far best players ever who play tennis, and if you play Grand Slam finals against them, I mean, it's always going to be a match where very small details are deciding.
The 26-year-old Thiem was completely drained after his duel with the 32-year-old Djokovic.
And I've rarely felt physically that tired, especially now after all the tension is gone. I mean, I played unbelievable intense match against Rafa, such an intense match against Sasha in the semis. And today again, I think almost 4 hours, so that was very demanding.
Because the match was so close, he feels comfortable he did what he could.
Maybe I could have converted the break point in the fourth set where I could have the lead 2-1, but then I think he had some issues in the second set. He recovered very well. He played really good after in set 3 and 4, and of course there were some small mistakes here and there, but they're happening, and at the end was a super close five-setter, and I don't really regret anything.
Djokovic says it's been a long start to the year, which will take even longer for him to reflect on.
I feel exhausted at the moment. You know, it's been a very successful but long month here in Australia, and I probably won't be able to comprehend the achievements I had in my career, especially at Grand Slams, until I retire from tennis.
Djokovic claims a record 8th Australian Open, 17th major, and reclaims the world number one ranking. The season has barely begun, and he's pleased.
I'm super happy with the way I started the season. You know, it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the year. I've had that privilege to win this big tournament for 8 times and start off the season with a Grand Slam win, you know, significantly boosts your confidence, and your expectations are quite high, you know, for the rest of the season. But whatever happens, the season is already successful.
I knew I had to take my chance. I had to be brave. I'm playing two-time Grand Slam champion, and all respect to her. She played a really tough match, and every point was such a battle, and a lot of moving, a lot of emotions on court from both sides, and yeah, I knew I needed to come up with the best shot, and 5 best shots of my life. I mean, let's go. It got me to win a Grand Slam. All right, I'll take it.
American Sofia Kenin won her first Grand Slam tennis title with a 4-6, 6-2, 6-2 win over Garbiñe Muguruza of Spain. 21-year-old Kenin is the youngest American woman to win the Australian Open since Serena Williams in 2002. The 5th game of the final set gave her the confidence to close out the match.
That's the game that I feel like changed things, and I had to play some best tennis, and I did, and it was after that I was on fire and I was ready to take the beautiful trophy.
Muguruza agrees that 5th game was the turning point.
Yeah, it was a very important match a very important moment of the match. I think she found very, very good shots during the match, and especially in the important moments, I think she, you know, came out with winners and just hitting the ball very good.
The two-time Grand Slam champion just could not keep up, even though she felt she played well.
I think that in important moments, I didn't find my shots. I think she found her shots. I didn't find my shots. And I did feel a little bit of lack of energy after so many matches, and physically it was a tough battle out there. So, you know, it's just a tough moment. Right now, it's tough to, you know, to be happy, although it has been an incredible tournament.
Muguruza takes the runner-up title as a positive.
You know,
know, I try to have a good perspective and not be too dramatic. You know, okay, you lost the match, it was an important one, but hey, I'm here. I gave myself a chance to be in a final, and then you realize that.
Kennan has used her short span of experience well.
I knew I needed to establish myself to get to where I am, and you know, all the confidence has come with all the matches that I've had, the success I've had in 2019. WTA Most Improved Player of the Year, so FYI. I've always had that. Match play has really helped me, and all the confidence that I'm getting is because of that, and I see that things are happening for me and everything is just falling into place.
She is happy for her accomplishment and those around her.
These past 2 weeks have been a lot of emotions, you guys could see after the match how much it all meant to me. This is just such an honor. I'm so proud of myself, so proud of my dad, my team, everyone has been around me. We worked all hard, we've been through tough times, but you know what, we did it, we fought, and yeah, I'm like on cloud nine right now.
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to congratulate Shaka and the Straight Talk Africa team for celebrating the show's 20th anniversary this year. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here in Washington, President Trump has presented the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, to Dan Gable, a 1972 Olympic wrestling champion. Let's listen in now to the official White House introduction for Gable.
Danny Mac Gable is one of the greatest collegiate athletes and coaches of the 20th century. As a wrestler, he was a three-time All-American, winning two NCAA national championships and a gold medal at the 1972 Olympic Games. He followed his career on the mat with an even more celebrated coaching career at the University of Iowa, leading the Hawkeyes to 21 Big Ten championships and 15 national championships. The United States is proud to honor Danny Mac Gable for his remarkable contributions to the sports world and to our great American story.
Dan Gable's story also includes praise from President Trump, who said Gable is an inspiration for many people. Well, you might say the Washington football team turned in an inspirational performance Monday. Washington upset the host Pittsburgh Steelers 23-17. The Steelers lost their first game of the National Football League season after 11 consecutive victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Washington erased a 14-3 halftime deficit and knocked off the previously unbeaten Steelers 23-17. Dustin Hopkins broke a deadlock by drilling a 45-yard field goal with 2:04 remaining, a few seconds before John Bostic's interception of Ben Roethlisberger set up another Hopkins field goal. Washington now 5-7 and tied for first in the NFC East under first-year coach Ron Rivera.
This is a team that comes in and they're physical. They're physical play, and they play to intimidate you. And I told our guys, you know, hey, we got a bar next. We got to stand up to them. We just don't take it.
Alex Smith was 34 of 46 for 296 yards. Roethlisberger completed 33 of his 53 passes for 305 yards and two touchdowns for the Steelers, who fell to 11-1. I'm Dave Ferry.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndumbulo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the Major League Soccer beat, the Columbus Crew will host the defending champion Seattle Sounders in Saturday's MLS Cup final. The Sounders made what's being described as a remarkable comeback Monday night when they rallied from a two-goal deficit to beat Minnesota United FC 3-2. All three of Seattle's goals came in the final 15 minutes of the match. In his post-game news conference, Seattle's head coach, Brian Schmetzer, said his team showed its fighting spirit.
That's a locker room full of championship players, about guys that understand that, look, it's easy to be, you know, successful, you're winning games and you're ahead and you drive a nice car and you got a nice wife, girlfriend, all that sort of stuff. But when adversity hits you, when you're socked in the jaw by Ozzie and Adrian Heath and Minnesota, who put on a great performance, you get socked in the jaw and you get back up and you persevere under, I mean, Minnesota had the game in their hand 15 minutes ago. In comes Will Bruin, Midwest guy, you know, ready for the fight, ready to have at it, and he sparks the group. Well, I always talk about next man up. I always talk about, you know, what is good about this franchise. Well, there's Will, and he's had his challenges because he believes he can be a starter on other MLS teams, and he could, but he's here, and he works for all of his teammates in that locker room. And I couldn't be prouder of, you know, Will's response, Gustav's response, Raul's goal, the guys that were still on the field that, you know, that persevered under adversity. I mean, again, we use mentality. It's a catchphrase. It's, you know, whatever. It's culture and all that. I'm telling you, in that locker room, it's real.
Coach Schmetzer mentioned Will Bruin sparking the Sounders. Bruin scored Seattle's first goal in the 75th minute. And then there were two more late goals by Raul Ruiz Diaz and Gustav Svensson. Ruiz Diaz is from Peru and Svensson is from Sweden. Once again, the Seattle Sounders rally to beat Minnesota United 3-2. The defending champion Sounders will play the host Columbus Crew on Saturday in the 2020 MLS Cup Final. In more MLS news, Toronto FC's attacking midfielder Alejandro Pozuelo has been named Major League Soccer's most valuable player. The 29-year-old Spaniard had 9 goals and 10 assists during the coronavirus shortened regular season. Pozuelo said the MVP recognition means a lot, and he's very proud to represent Toronto, which was eliminated in the first round of the MLS playoffs.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi,
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In Olympic news, we're going to see breakdancing as an official sport at the 2024 Paris Games in France. The International Olympic Committee is trying to attract a younger audience to the multi-sports festival, and breakdancing is seen as one way to bring in younger Olympic fans. Breakdancing has been added to the medal program for Paris 2024. Also confirmed for Paris by the IOC's executive board are skateboarding, surfing, and sport climbing. The executive board did not accept proposals by World Athletics to include the women's 50-kilometer walk and cross-country mixed relay to the Paris Olympic program. In a statement, World Athletics said, and I quote, "Cross country is an exciting and fast-growing sport around the world, so we are clearly disappointed it will not feature at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Even more so given the heritage of cross country in France at the Paris 1924 Olympic Games." And World Athletics continued with its statement. "However, we have developed what we believe is a really exciting mixed relay product and have been encouraged by the commitment from the IOC that they will continue to work with us to realize our vision of seeing cross country in a future Olympics." And I know more than a few African Olympic associations would love to see cross country at a future Olympics. The Kenyans and the Ethiopians in particular have dominated the annual World Cross Country Championships.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. In more football news, top coaches from Germany and the Netherlands have spoken out against what they call overpacked schedules ahead of their UEFA Champions League matches this week. VOA's Gwen Uden has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last Saturday, Barcelona suffered a stinging 2-1 loss against Cadiz. The loss marked their fourth La Liga defeat of the season and struck another blow for their chance at a title. Barcelona is now set to host Italian champions Juventus in their final Champions League group game on Tuesday. But ahead of that match, coach Ronald Koeman spoke at a press conference where he took aim at Spanish soccer organizers for allowing his team little time to rest. Koeman says, in part, "I think we will lose many more players due to injuries. I don't know who sets the match schedule, but if you have to play on a Tuesday night Champions League match, for the sake of the Spanish teams, you have to think about the match schedule before. In my opinion, and to defend my players, they cannot recover if they arrive home at 4 or 4:30 a.m. Barcelona has lost three key players this season to long-term injuries, And Koeman says he is resting as many players as he can. However, Lionel Messi is scheduled to reunite with Cristiano Ronaldo against Juventus on Tuesday. Koeman's complaints echo the views of Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp. Last week, Klopp told reporters the congested match schedule will have a negative effect on his players and England manager Gareth Southgate at next year's UEFA European Championship.
And next summer, it will become a problem for Gareth Southgate because all the players Gareth wants to pick are obviously in play international football, most of them. A few Aston Villa players not, but I think pretty much all, maybe Leeds not, Phillips, but most of them play, have played so far 3 times a week. We'll do that from February on again. Play now 3 times a week, all the time. So Gareth will get what we can give him. And if we stick with 3 subs, then, it's for him, then he has a problem then. So it's an FA problem.
Like Barcelona, Liverpool has been beset by a number of injuries this season, and Klopp says he's disappointed that Premier League shareholders did not vote to increase the number of substitutions per game to 5, which could lead to more injuries.
I was not surprised because I knew about it, I think that information speaks for itself. Nobody thought it would go through. I told you about the fact that in the managers' meeting it was if we would have voted that day, which we were not allowed to, then it would have been through 100% with 15 or 16 votes, whatever. That it didn't happen since then is obviously a sign that some shareholders, some CEOs, sporting director, whatever, see it differently to their managers. That's now not a really good sign, to be honest, because it shows then it's absolutely these people now really ignore the player welfare. The coaches don't do that anymore, but these people do it, and that's not okay. But if you don't have a chance to vote for it, then you have to accept that for the moment. But because it's about player welfare, by the way, mental health and player welfare, it's a whole package. We will not stop fighting for it, so because it's just the right thing to do.
Liverpool is just coming off a Sunday 4-0 victory against Wolverhampton in the Premier League. Now they're headed to Denmark for their match against FC Midtjylland in the Champions League. No fresh injuries have been reported, but Jurgen Klopp says some key players will probably not be ready for their final group match on Wednesday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarterfinaler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
Thank you, Falilat. In African club football, Ghana's representative in the CAF Champions League advanced over the weekend against their Mauritanian opponent after a special ruling by officials. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra.
Ghana's Asante Kotoko was last Sunday declared winners in their CAF Champions League return match against Nouadhibou FC of Mauritania. The game, which was called off last Saturday after 2 Mauritanian players tested positive per the dressing room formalities, was rescheduled by CAF to be played the next day. On the match day, the Mauritanians refused to allow 2 of their positive tested players to be removed from the squad after both teams had a fresh COVID-19 PCR test over the 24 hours. The incident brought about a lengthy discussions inside the dressing rooms between match officials, which delayed the start of the game. And the Mauritanians again refused to walk onto the pitch for the kickoff if their demands are not met. After applying CAF rules, Togolese referee Komlavi Aklasu, with his assistant Limna Kabasima, Kofi Jonathan Ahonto, and fourth referee Kwasi Atiso, Match Commissioner Omar Kwame of Ivory Coast and Ghana's COVID-19 Officer of the Game, Christian Barr, proceeded to the pitch with the host team Asante Kotoko and declared them winners. The Ghanaian club therefore qualifies to the next stage of the competition and will play Al Hilal of Sudan in a fortnight. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. And that wraps up the December 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.